Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Macomb Diesel Western Star Truck has been there for you since 1969. Western Star Trucks has a heritage of power, strength, and incredible value. Stop by and see the good folks at Macomb Diesel Western Star Trucks, located at 1120 North Clark Avenue, Magnolia, Mississippi.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody. Good afternoon and welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Glad to be back on the air. Glad to be talking Southern Miss sports. Broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio, Bob Getty and Kelly Sanner. Dima may be joining us later. Dima's actually talking to Oz right now for his newspaper reporting. Hopefully he'll get here before the end of the show. Opening of the show is always sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Today is no exception. Great place to take your family for dinner and a great place to cater some baseball games this weekend or whatever occasion may be up on your list. Later in the show, Mark Patton covers UC Santa Barbara baseball for the Nosehawk paper out in California. We'll find out. We understand they're in town. They're getting ready for the gutting they're going to take for the next 3 days.
And they're finding it difficult to find, as we mentioned, tofu and avocados, Bob. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the warm and fuzzy fans in the 16th ounce lounge will bring them something to eat tomorrow night.
Oh, they'll be fuzzy about the third inning, at least.
So we'll have that later. We're delighted, though, to have in the studio Landon Payne. Everybody knows who Landon is. Great relief pitcher for the Golden Eagles, now with the Chicago White Sox organization. Great to have you here, man.
Yes, sir. Good to be here.
I reminded you that the first time you and I met was earlier last year when you shut down Mississippi State late in the game. We talked after the game. That was a pretty big moment for you, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, yes, sir. I mean, that was a big game, big win for us. I mean, it was pretty fun, electric ballpark out there today.
You know, you brought it up. It was kind of funny, Landon. I think it took everybody by surprise. They called you out of the bullpen that night, and all of a sudden on the scoreboard, this really elaborate introduction. It was almost like the movie, you know, when they would bring the – what was that guy, Kelly? They bring – wore the big rim glasses in the movie.
Oh, from a Major League.
Yeah, it was almost like that.
Wild thing, yeah.
When Landon came on the field, and you told me that night, and you just reemphasized, you had no idea they were doing that.
I had no clue. It surprised me just as much as everybody else.
Yeah, but your reaction was, okay, with this big Hollywood entrance, I better not blow this.
Better not.
Well, you didn't. You didn't.
I think another one of my great memories of this young man was last year at the Georgia State game, and it was late in the game and a little bit of a dust-up there. And I just happened to be on the field when that occurred. And, you know, you told me today you were just wishing the guy well and hoping that he had a safe trip home. I didn't interpret that afternoon, so that was news for me.
I think that's what I said. It was somewhere along those lines.
It was somewhere along those lines.
Something about seeing his mother. Or mother was involved somewhere.
Mother came up, as I recall. Yeah.
How did – tell us through that whole scenario, Landon, with all Georgia State.
So, come out the bullpen that day. Tight game at first. Get three big outs, go back in the dugout. Our bats were working. I think we scored – I put up like a six spot, so we had a pretty big lead. Go back out there to close the game out. I got two outs.
And you just wanted to go home.
Wanted to go home, throwing heaters. If you hit it, oh, well, our defense is going to work. And I threw a heater. He hit it good, hit it out the park, and he had some stuff to say before he reached first base. So I wasn't going to let that slide, and neither was my teammate. So – we definitely had something to say for him.
Monastir, right?
Monastir, yeah. Of all people, all bowed up then in midfield. Tuna got out of the way. I remember he said later he don't fight.
Ah, yeah.
He's a lover, Tuna. Right?
Yeah, he's a lover. Big old teddy bear.
Hey, it's one thing to be talking, but when you're talking and you're still five runs down,
yeah.
I mean, come on.
And you're talking to this guy.
Ill-advised.
Did not see him.
Ill-advised, yeah.
All right, so now you're with the White Sox. How are things going for you, man?
It's going good. It's a different environment for sure, but, I mean, this is our dream. This is what we work for, so it's definitely rewarding.
Tell us what the experience is like.
So flying out to Arizona the first time is definitely different than Mississippi, I can tell you that. A lot of dirt, a lot of clay.
And you're a Mississippi guy, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Arizona, a lot of people, hot. And most of my teammates, I can't really have the best conversations with because we don't speak the same language, but we're working on that. English class twice a week. And, I mean, it's good baseball there. You get everything you need. I mean, it's professional.
Now, you mentioned the White Sox do make you go to learn Spanish, mm-hmm. so you're taking Spanish twice a week. I wonder if they make the Spanish players take
English. They do.
So the Spanish players have to learn English as well. So and what percentage would you say, Brandon, of your experience so far has been, or Landon, rather, has been Spanish-speaking as opposed to English-speaking?
I honestly say probably 60% Latin American towards your 40% American. So.
And the reason I want him to make that point is to all you Little League parents to think that your sweet baby boy is going to be, you know, at the top of the heap. He's already behind the eight ball if he doesn't come from a Latin American background, just the way it is.
Linda, you played two great programs, obviously Pearl River is as good a junior college program as there is in America, and then you played for this elite baseball program here in Hattiesburg. What are some of the things that you've taken from your experiences at PRCC and Southern Miss that you hope are going to help you in your professional career?
I mean, you look at Pearl River, you got Coach Michael Avalon. I mean, he's one of the best people that you'll ever get to meet. And then you go there. Then you come to Southern Miss, and it's kind of just a bigger version of Pearl River. The community, they love baseball in Poplarville. They love baseball in Hattiesburg. I mean, you can't really ask for much more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's truly amazing, both those mm-hmm. places. And they're very similar, very similar.
Yeah, and you come here after Coach Avalon, which is certainly one of the premier coaches in the country, and you work for Christian Ostrander for 2 years. And I know you took some things away from that.
Oh, yeah, Coach Oz, he is a great coach, man-to-man. I mean, he's going to shoot you straight. You learn a lot from him. He's a pitching guy. He's always with us. I mean, he's a great coach in general.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you, Landon, because you are cut off of a different piece of cloth than most pitchers in the sense that the new wave of pitchers is not to show any emotion. The adage is the coach tells the pitchers, look, if you should act the same whether you're up by 8 runs or down by 8 runs. You've got a job to do, no emotion. But that's not in your DNA, it seems to me. So how do you manage your emotions in tough situations?
You know, you do that by being the same person off the field. I mean, you go on the – if a lot of people, a lot of pitchers that aren't very successful, they're not doing the same things off the field, so they're not – they're just not getting it done off the field, saying the right things, putting yourself in uncomfortable situations. So whenever you get out of there, whenever you get out there, it's not normal for you.
Because I get the feeling – and it's kind of a persona, but I get the feeling you really are a guy that would just as soon fight as eat a hamburger.
I had some players tell me that about it too.
He's just nodding his head. I'm
not gonna go looking for it, but I also ain't gonna take it from nobody either. So
yeah.
Well. So have the White Sox the business side now of baseball. That's one of the things you've learned is now it's a business side. Not a whole lot of people talk to you. The guy sitting next to you is gunning for the same job that you're gunning for. A lot different environment. Kind of fill us in.
Yeah, it is different. So I mean, here you got 42 brothers that you hang out with every single day. And then the White Sox organization, you go to practice, you eat, you work out, you go back home, and you sit in your own little pod by yourself, play some video games, whatever you want to do. But that aspect of it is definitely different than Southern Miss for me.
Yeah, I think a lot of your predecessors, Mark Maddox and some of the other ones who have played pro baseball from Southern Miss, let's say the biggest thing they had to get used to was that nobody really talks to you as to, hey, we think you're doing this well. We think you stink. We think that you've got to work on this. You rarely hear from anyone. So how do you guide yourself? That's got to be kind of tough.
I mean, we've been playing this game our whole lives up to this point. I mean, you know what to do, you know what not to do. And you really just use that motto and go about your business every single day.
But I would think as far as organizations being taken by the White Sox was real. I mean, the average fan will go, oh, gosh, the White Sox, they're just not very good. But if you're on that end, right?
Good for me.
Yeah, it is good for you. Explain to people how that can be.
I mean, definitely. I mean, you watch the White Sox. They're not your L.A. Dodgers or anything like that. But, I mean, they're on the upcoming side of things.
Yes. So you can, you're in on the ground floor on something like that,
yes,
right?
Sure,
well,
sure.
A lot of times too, I think the success in professional athletics is to get put in the right situation at the right time, right? I mean, you may go to an organization that needs more players with your skill set than another organization might.
And I know we're going into a commercial break, but I want to expound upon that in a second segment with Landon Payne about how. A person in the White Sox organization is smiling right now. We're in the Dodgers organization. They're not smiling.
Right. I also want to revisit that Georgia State game because something very ironic has happened to Landon in Arizona in regards to that day. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, second segment of the show every day sponsored by Eagle Tire West. Another pitcher involved, Matt Warren. He runs Eagle Tire West. He invites you to see his staff for premium Goodyear products, full service auto and truck service. They're on Highway 98 West next to Smith Motor Company. They've been family owned since 1985. Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West, Goodyear Tires, full service, big USM supporters. As is Mobe Beignet Company and Genesis of Hattiesburg, two of our fine supporters. And we thank both of those great local companies for helping support the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Still to come, Mark Patton, who does reporting and covers UC Santa Barbara. Landon Payne's in the studio with us. Landon, I think you said earlier you were at the baseball stadium doing a little workout yourself, and you saw these, what are they, Kelly, the Gauchos?
Santa Barbara Gauchos.
Yeah, you saw them practicing, is that right?
Yes, sir. They were in the weight room working out whenever I was in there.
Hmm. Are they as big physically as our team?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. So you think the Golden Eagles are ready for them? Because they are good.
100%. We're ready for anything you throw at us.
There we go.
And I wanted to just finish that point about how Landon's with the White Sox, and going back to Mark Maddox, who was drafted by the Royals. Both of those programs at those particular times were struggling, but they were coming up rather than going down. And where somebody like in Landon's situation with the White Sox, on the White Sox, the team might not be as good, but if your job is to get on the field, you want to be on a team that's on its way up. If you're in the minor leagues with the LA Dodgers now, everybody's going, oh man, you're on the Dodgers. Well, no, I'm not on the Dodgers, and I'm probably not going to get to be on the Dodgers for many years to come because of all these multi-gazillion dollar players that they've got. And again, Lennon, you can kind of speak to it. You want to get on the field.
100%. I mean, a team like the LA Dodgers, you're going to wait in line. You're going to sit there and wait in line as there's so much more opportunities with the Chicago White Sox. Not talking bad about their program or anything, but as a baseball player, that's what I want. I want to get on the field as quick as possible.
And each year that you sit out in the Dodgers organization, you get 1 year older. You know, the guys coming out of college are still the same age. So I would suggest that he's in a much better situation than a lot of guys, like particularly with the Dodgers.
So, Landon, you went there last year when you finished your career here. What did you do last year, and now what's in store? What happens next?
So I leave out the 27th. I'll be driving out to Arizona, me and my wife, and spring training starts up March 2nd for us, and it's a month of baseball, games every single day, and then you get sent to your affiliate where they think that you're the best fit at, mm-hmm. and you're pretty much playing 140 games, six games a week, one off day from there.
Do you know at this point what affiliate you'll go to, or do you have to go to the training first?
I got to go to the training. Everybody goes to the training. Everybody in professional baseball goes back for spring training. But I would say they've been throwing some things out there between Winston-Salem is our high A team and low A is our Kannapolis team. Either one of those where I'll start off at.
North Carolina is not a bad state to be in.
No.
You know?
No.
And, Bob, you talked about – we talked about how small a world – baseball can be, and take it up from there about the Georgia State story.
And I won't stay on this too much longer. But so, those of you that may not know, Landon's pitching last year against Georgia State, and the guy hits a home run late, meaningless home run. The game's over. Decides to chatter a little bit, probably to the wrong player on the team. Landon took offense to that. Nick Monastir, of all people, took offense to that as well, and I think he got the kid from Georgia State got a really good look at Landon and calmed down pretty quickly. Now, let's fast forward. You go to the White Sox organization, and what happens in regard to that Georgia State brush up?
That same guy that me and Nick got in an altercation with.
Altercation, good word from a St. Martin guy.
Was in this. That's good. That's good. He showed up in the same locker room. We're on the same team, so we're teammates now. So
did he approach you?
I mean, not really. I mean, just as anybody else would, new to the team, just saying what's up to everybody and stuff like that. And then we realized, hey, that was you. But, I mean.
Yeah, it was the heat of the moment.
Wasn't anything.
No, heat of the moment.
Anything about that situation.
Now you're friends and teammates,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So how you feeling, man? Physically, how you feel?
I feel great. I mean, ever since the season ended, I've been training, been back and forth from Arizona for camps, came back here, been training with Coach Mack, our strength coach. He's been getting me right. Been throwing bullpens with Coach Oz and Coach Leger, the new pitching coach, and, I mean, I feel great. I'm ready to go. It's been since Miami since I've pitched, so I'm ready to go.
And you've gotten to see our particular team this year. Break it down for us, Landon, the Eagle team this year that they'll put on the field.
It's going to be something really special. I mean, I've never got to sit back and watch it because I've always been in it. But, man, I went to the practice the other day, and they were doing electric PFPs and defense, and you should have heard them hollering and – rooting for each other out there, man. I just had a big smile on my face. It was awesome.
And actually, something else that we don't realize as your average fans, guys that do it for a living don't ever get to really play the role of fan because
right.
they're usually in the right. dugout whether they're being used that day or not. You're going to get to be this weekend at Pete Taylor Park, and you might go to the Roost and have a beverage or two.
Yeah, I might have a couple waters out there.
Yeah, but you're looking forward to that.
I am. Yeah. Diet Coke for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's something we lose track
of,
too.
Here's another thing, Landon, about the baseball program that I'm not sure everybody understands. You guys never really leave. And what I mean by that is you just got through saying you were working out, you've been taking bullpen, the strength coach has been working with you. And I know you're not the only former player that comes back here in the off season. You go back to the Pete, and you get right back with your college coaches, don't you?
Yes, sir. I mean, it's a special place. This is where I want to be. I'm comfortable here. The fans have made me comfortable here. The coaches have made me comfortable here. I mean, this place is like home. And other than, like, going back to my high school back home to train, I get a little bit more out of being in Hattiesburg. I mean, it's just home here.
All right, so, Landon, as you try to work your way up now the major, what are you working on pitch selection-wise and things that are – that you're doing to hone your craft, because that's what pitching is.
So you're going to see from me two different pitches that y'all have not seen me throw this year. So I'm still fastball cutter, but they added curveball and a kick changeup to my arsenal. So I'm really looking forward to that. It's looking good. So
a kick changeup?
Kick change. So for a guy that I'm a supinator, so I cut, I don't really pronate.
Right. So that's the motion of the wrist and elbow.
The kick change is a change up for a non-supinator or a non-pronator. It allows you to throw that change up by pretty much cutting the baseball.
So now he's a pronator as opposed to a terminator. Right?
Yeah.
And that's interesting, man, how they can get you to teach you to do those things that just almost sometimes seem physiologically impossible.
All right, Landon, so you're a couple minutes left. You're living a dream that probably every little kid that starts playing Little League Baseball envisions himself, right?
Yes, sir.
So what advice would you have for kids that are coming up through the ranks, playing summer ball, trying to make their high school team, and they all have the same dream that you had?
Outwork everybody. I mean,
that's the only thing you can control.
I mean, you gotta put in the work. I mean, you gotta have fun while you're doing it. If you don't have fun, you're just gonna beat yourself down. I mean, this game is designed to beat you down and to break you up. But if you just put your head down, you go to work, there's nothing that can stop you. So.
And what advice would you have for parents, Landon, who all of them think that their kid's gonna be the next shortstop for the Yankees?
Support your kids. But whenever it gets that time to kind of step away, I definitely would let them, because you get to a point where your kid starts to know a lot more about you or a lot more than you do about baseball.
Right.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And I wish more parents would heed that advice.
Just a minute or so left. You said you're married. Now, will you be able to take your wife with you to,
yes,
to where you're?
She's coming out with me, and they give us a place to stay and everything. So it's going to be
just pretty first-class treatment, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's nice.
Yeah, well, good. We're proud of it.
Yeah, and my son will get to be out there at the same time he's out there in Arizona.
I'll be looking forward to seeing him.
Area, I will.
What, are they all in the same area generally, the team?
Well, there's a bunch.
He works for the White Sox organization.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, there's Peoria, there's Paradise Valley, there's Chandler, Arizona, a lot of the suburbs of Phoenix. There's a lot of teams out there.
Yeah. So you got JB. When JB came out there the same time I was out there, or he was there first before I got out to Arizona, and mm-hmm. he had his truck, and he was within 20 minutes. He come pick mm-hmm. me up on the weekend, so it was like we never left.
And we mentioned the Dodgers, and actually the White Sox and Dodgers share the same facility. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get to see
that Middleton guy. He just never turned out to be very good, did he?
Oh, yeah.
But good for him. He's overcome all that, right?
Yeah.
Landon, I can't tell you how proud Kelly and I are. You were really one of our favorite kids when you were here.
You haven't even called him the dog, Bob.
And Kelly, of course, knew of your career at the Pearl River. So, man, we wish you nothing but the best. And we're thrilled that you came out here and spent some time with us.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be back home. Go
Bob,
Eagles.
Bob, you met his mom, and didn't you meet his mom?
No, that was another one.
Oh, another? Okay.
Yeah, that was another one.
Okay,
I met his
gotcha.
Mom. But I met him the night he put Mississippi State to shame. That was a good night.
Great night.
Thank you, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you all.
Landon Payne, everybody. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
And don't forget, Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun, but you are the most important player. Be sure you get an annual physical to be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. Third segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, sponsored every day by DBAT on Hardy Street. That's where former Golden Eagle Luke Reynolds manages a absolutely state-of-the-art baseball and softball training facility. It's down on Hardy Street. Premier facility, everything you need. Great instructors, camps, classes, everything you need to help your child be the best they can be in baseball and softball. You'll find it, of course, at DBAT. All right, we just got word. I want to thank Landon Payne for coming in the studio. Always great to have former players join us. And He had just left the Pete where UC Santa Barbara is working out, we understand. So we reached out earlier this week, and very happy to say that Mark Patton was agreeable to come on our show. He is a reporter for the Santa Barbara NewsHawk paper, newspaper, and he covers UC Santa Barbara basketball and baseball. And so, first of all, Mark, thanks very much, man. We appreciate your time today.
Oh, absolutely. Love talking baseball.
We love talking baseball down here, too. And I'll have to tell you that those of us that cover and follow Southern Miss baseball, we're delighted to see such a high-caliber program as Santa Barbara coming in here to open the series. Much prefer these kind of games over teams that you know Southern Miss is going to pretty much mash for three games in a row. But kind of give us a view of this team. We hear they're heavy on pitching and defense and just traditionally very good on the mound.
Yeah, they've had their coach, Andrew Checkets, who was an All-America pitcher way back when. He's really kind of a guru of pitching coaches. You know, Shane Bieber was one of his proteges. He was kind of a recruited walk-on. And he pitched him to the College World Series in 2016. Of course, now he's with the Blue Jays. Had some great years in Cleveland, winning the Cy Young Award. So he's kind of a good example of what Andrew Checkets has produced. They've had several first-round draft picks who were pitchers. Dylan Tate was taken by the Rangers a few years ago in the first round. And Tyler Bremner was last year's number two pick in the draft by the Angels. So, and he pitched on the team last year, and he was kind of an interesting story. But they're very strong on pitching. He's got a very deep staff this year. And he recruits, it's interesting, he recruits shortstops for every position. He's got shortstops in the outfield. He's got shortstops all over the infield, and they're all pretty good glove men. So they're heavy on defense and pitching.
All right, tell us about the Friday night guy, which we hear may be one of the best pitchers in the whole country.
Yeah, Jackson Flora, he's a junior. He was their number two guy last year behind Tyler Bremner. He's touched 100 miles per hour on the gun. He's usually up in the high 90s. He's got a really good wipeout slider, and a sweeper is pretty good. His Achilles heel was against lefties because he's a real strike thrower, and sometimes he throws it right down Broadway. College hitters these days, they'll hit a high 90s fastball that's right over the plate. So the deal with him is getting him to develop a changeup. Checkets has been pretty good at getting players to incorporate changeups into their repertoire, and supposedly Jackson has a pretty good kick change. So the word is, you know, this is going to be a big year for him. And he pitched pretty well last year. He finished strong, and he's going to be the ace of their staff for sure.
Okay, in the Southeast, everyone that follows college baseball pretty much knows about the Southern Miss baseball program. But I'm curious, in Santa Barbara, California, do any of the players or coaches really have any concept about Southern Miss baseball? I mean, what do you think their thought process is right now?
Well, you know, I know Andrew Checkets does because I talked to him about it, and he, he's on the voting panel for the USA Today coaches national poll, and he so I talked to him. He knows Southern Miss's background. You know, obviously you've been to the NCAA tournament many times. I think you've been to the College World Series a couple of times. Great conference. He knows your conference well. Of course, Coastal Carolina's had had some great seasons. There's a couple other teams in your league are pretty strong. Kind of a little bit like the Big West Conference. You know, historically, Cal State Fullerton was a dominating program. They won the College World Series a number of years ago. And now UC Irvine has a really good program, and so is Santa Barbara. As far as conferences go, they're similar. I think probably your conference has been a little more successful in recent years. But he knows a lot. Probably the players don't, and he's probably been trying to educate them, especially about how good your pitching staff is with, you know, guys like Colby Allen and Braden Harris and Chris Sibley. You know, those are all really good arms. So I know that Checkett's been throwing his aces against the team recently to get them used to some high-caliber pitching.
When you look at this Cal Santa Barbara team, too, it's, I don't think something that can be understated is jet lag and the distance that you guys have had to travel, you know, to play this series. And there's really no way to know how they're going to react to that. But going into the season and talking to the coaches, what did they perceive? If there's anything that keeps them up at night about that team, was there anything, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, probably the power. I mean, like, you know, for guys who throw, they have some guys who have really good velo, you know, I think they're talking, hey, look, you can't throw the ball right over the plate against this team because they're going to hit it out of the park. And, you know, I think last year you guys hit over 100 home runs. That's pretty impressive. You had a couple guys, you know, I think you had three or four guys in double digits home runs. So I think the emphasis is, you know, you cannot lay the ball in there against these guys or they're going to, you know, get ahead pretty quickly.
And I think most, we've talked about it earlier this week on the program about how in the early in the season, generally in baseball, pitchers have an advantage. The two that are going tomorrow would have advantages even under the most ideal circumstances. All of this leads to what you would think would be a very low-scoring series. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, the one thing sometimes in early season games, I think one year they went and played they went to play Campbell, you know, on the East Coast. And Checkets got them there really early. They got there several days before the game just to get used to this time zone and so forth. And Campbell had a pretty good pitching staff that year, and they scored 20 runs in the first game against them. But a lot of it had to do with pitchers aren't throwing a lot of innings, you know, early in the year. You know, they're just starting pitchers anyway. You know, they might not even go, you know, enough to get the decision. And I think that kind of happened in that series a little bit. I don't think you're going to see Jackson Flora throwing seven innings right off the bat. He'll probably go maybe five, maybe six, possibly. And Checkets is pretty big on his bullpen. So, I mean, we could see some runs, especially if, you know, I know the Gauchos tried to recruit a little more power for this year's team. They've got a couple guys coming in with power, you know, whether they're going to be put right into the starting lineup, I'm not sure, but because he's kind of been unsure about his corner outfielders and who's going to play first base, and that's where they're going to get some of their power. But, if some of these pitchers aren't quite ready, you know, you might see some runs, but, you know, my prediction is this will be a low-scoring series.
Our colleague Dima Mixon had reported earlier this week that your coaches had piped in loud noise into your baseball field while the guys were practicing. What kind of noise was it?
They had sirens going, and they actually had crowd cheering noises, but some of it was just like noise, like sirens. They had a siren going off while they were taking infield, just so there was like that distraction, right? Especially when they were doing a lot of their defensive work, you know, because the feeling is, you know, if you guys get good crowds, you know, you have a nice sized stadium, you're going to get a lot of people in there. I hear you've sold out the season tickets. So the fear is, you know, they're going to be a little distracted while they're trying to run some of their defensive plays. And so he was trying to do that with, you know, the cheering noise and also with the sirens.
Well, we joked yesterday, did he also teach them how to dodge eight-ounce beer cans being thrown at their heads?
I didn't know about that. That's a good one. I'll ask Andrew about that.
No, I'll tell you what. You just call the guys over there. They're working out. You just tell them, the Southern Miss fans, be prepared. They're humble. They're quiet. They just sit there on their hands. And they don't have to worry about it getting rowdy here, do they, Kelly?
These are gnarly guys from California who just want to catch a wave.
Hey, Mark, great having you on the show, man. We really do appreciate it. And in all seriousness, we look forward to what we think is going to be a really good series between two fine college baseball programs. Thank you, man.
Okay, thanks for having me.
All right, Mark Patton, everybody, from the Santa Barbara News Hawk. And we appreciate that. Basketball.
Women's and men's, both at home today. More details coming up on the Eagle Hour.
big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey everybody, MCS Home Center, they're waiting for you to come out there and get any and everything you need for your next home project. Lawn, garden, backyard, front yard, they've got everything. And we don't say this much, but a big selection of really gorgeous appliances. They got pretty much everything that you could want for your home, for your lawn, from your garden at MCS Home Center. And they do sell peepers. Now, Kelly's the only person they're going to deliver them to, I think. But you can buy some really good reading glasses.
You think that reading glasses are reading glasses. And I know y'all just think I'm blowing smoke up your skirt, but I'm really not. These really are the top of the line. They're fantastic.
Don't ever touch my skirt.
I wouldn't dare. Like I said, I'm not even blowing smoke up your skirt. Right. But you really should try if you need reading glasses. These are the best. Absolutely.
All right. Dema Mixon has shown up. We knew he got out here late. He was going to rough Landon Payne up a little bit for us in the studio.
I got a little nervous. So I started to wait my turn.
Well, he heard you were coming. He cut out pretty fast. Oh, wow. I just want you to know he was a little intimidated.
Well, I just saw JB out at the Pete, and he's still throwing – what he's throwing.
So. It's a shame he never materialized into a really good pitcher. Isn't it? You just left the Wizard of Oz. What's he thinking here the day before the game?
Man, he's just fired up to play. I mean, and that's something he said. He said, it's time. You know, we've been playing each other for these last few months, and it's time to see what our guys can do. And they're excited about this opponent. And, man, it's going to be fun. I mean, I can hardly wait. I mean,
it's about
24 hours away.
It's almost like the fan base is ready to just burst. Yes. You know?
No question. We'll be out there for 2 hours tomorrow, starting at 1 o'clock, and we'll talk a lot of baseball, obviously, tomorrow afternoon. We've got a few minutes left, and I'm glad Dema came back because you guys need to kind of update us on where we are with basketball and who's on the floor.
We have a rare women's-men's doubleheader tonight at Reed Green Coliseum. The women will take on Louisiana Monroe. That's a 5 o'clock start this afternoon at the Greenhouse. The Lady Eagles are 12-12, 5-7 in conference play. The Warhawks come in 11-12 overall, 5-8 in conference play. So you see, those numbers are nearly identical. And a sideline to this game tonight on the women's side is that Missy Bilderback, obviously coaching Southern Miss. Louisiana Monroe is coached by Scotty Fletcher, who was the former coach at Pearl River Community College. So they used to coach against each other when Missy was at Jones, Scotty was at Pearl River. Well, now, of course, Missy at Southern Miss, Scotty at Louisiana Monroe, who followed Missy Bilderback as coach at Louisiana Monroe. So I hope you had your flow chart there. But that is a 5 o'clock start. Then the men's game is slated to start at 7:30 or whenever they get around to it after the women's game, depending on how long it takes. South Alabama, the opposition. South Al comes in with an overall record of 17-7, but they are 7-4 in conference play, and they've won 4 out of their last 5. The Eagles are 13-13, 6-7 in conference play. A couple things that that concern me about this South Al team coming in here, besides playing pretty well, winning 4 out of their last 5, is, get this, in 15 games this year, you guys, 15 games, they have turned the ball over less than 10 times. So usually that means you're going to have to shoot the ball with pretty good efficiency, because you're not going to get a lot of extra possessions when you're playing South Alabama. They're led by Chase Harris, who's got 17.5 average points per game. Adam Olson also checks in with 16 points a game for South Alabama. Again, a women and men's Sun Belt Conference doubleheader tonight. The women against Louisiana Monroe at 5. South Al on the men's side, scheduled roughly about 7:30.
Yeah, and one thing about South Alabama, too, is that they have been actually pretty decent on the road. You know, a lot of times when we talk about these teams, we talk about what's your road record. And Southern Miss right now, 8-2 at home. But South Alabama, 6-5 on the road, which,
is a little bit over 500, which in the Sun Belt is really good. Southern Miss right now 3-10 on the road.
And how much of a road game really is this for South Al? Right when you're an hour. Hour and a half.
You can say that, Kelly.
Well, no, but I'm just saying. I mean that makes it worse for Southern
Miss. Environment, not distance.
No, it isn't very far away. So I'm saying, even if they weren't good on the road, they'd probably be pretty good because they're not that far away from home.
All right, and so basketball is playing again Saturday too, and that has altered the baseball schedule. Normally, would be a 2 o'clock Saturday start, moved up to noon. Is that right, Dave?
Yep. And then the women's game's at 4:30 or something like that, and then the men's at 6 or something.
So it's going to be a crazy weekend of activity here in Hattiesburg.
You're telling me.
And sports writers, they really enjoy days like
Saturday,
don't you?
They really don't.
And actually, I know you don't like talking about weather, but there are some schools that are already altering their schedules who had Sunday game schedules that are either playing doubleheaders on Friday or a doubleheader on Saturday to try to avoid Sunday altogether.
Oz just told me that that's very unlikely, that that the schedule should stay the same.
Okay.
You mean to tell me they're going to probably close schools Monday if it's raining Saturday and Sunday, is that right?
Well, if it doesn't rain but drops below 50 degrees, they'll probably also.
Oh, yeah. No question.
How are we not taken to reported to Health and Human Services for making our kids go to school when it's 51 degrees?
It's just cruel.
Outrageous.
I go play golf in 51 degrees.
Yeah. Whereas Kelly and I, we of that generation, we walked 7 miles one way in the snow and oftentimes didn't have shoes.
Uphill.
That's how tough we were. Uphill.
Both ways.
And it had, was weird, wasn't it?
Had to fend off black bears with loose leaf notebooks.
Well, from the looks of Kelly, he hadn't been doing that in a while.
Aren't you glad he made it back for the last segment?
Yeah, he says, I'm bringing you guys a gift for the show today. And I said, oh, maybe he's quitting.
All right, we're at Pete Taylor Park tomorrow. Kelly's out, but Dima and I will be there along with our special co-host, Hill Denson.
Which is why Kelly won't be there.
Hill bans Kelly. Kelly's not allowed. 1-3, we hope we'll see you at the Pete. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks to Landon Payne and Mark Patton as well today. Southern Miss.
To the top.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.